This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Workplace communications is one of the most active verticals in digital signage, and a big reason for that is the ability of screen technology to get important information to staff without hoping they open and read mass emails or see posters on break room cork boards. The Finnish startup Valota saw the rise in business-based digital signage coming and has been developing a product totally focused on visual messaging in the workplace. Based outside of Helsinki, the company's Valota Live product is a messaging platform built around a growing set of content presentation apps that visualize data from widely used business systems like Salesforce and Microsoft's Power BI. The platform enables set-it-and-forget-it content that's fed via these systems. So when the KPIs for a company change, they also change automatically on screens located around a facility. It's a big step up from happy birthday wishes and notices about the parking lot being paved on the weekend. I spoke with CEO Kaius Astoljoki about the roots of Valota Live and what he says are the key things end users need to think about when putting together a digital screen network for their workplaces. Kaius, thanks for joining me all the way from Finland.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
Whereabouts is Valota based? Is it right in Helsinki or is it some other town? I think Espoo or something like that?
Yeah, we're just right on the outskirts of Helsinki. It's another city called Espoo. It's actually where a lot of tech companies are also located at, such as the Microsoft Finland, the Nokia headquarters, and we are right on their campus.
And there's a pretty big tech sector in Finland, is there not?
Yeah, we do. We do have a quite intensive startup scene. I think we have the most dense gaming population in Finland as well. Companies developing games, and I think the density is the highest in the world right now.
So as a result of that, is it hard to find good help, so to speak?
We benefit a lot from other companies helping each other. There's also a lot of business angels, gaining a lot of knowledge about building a company, building a startup, building a SaaS success to be successful in that. And obviously, a lot of venture capital is seeing in Finland. We've got the Slosh, that's the largest startup expo in the world. I think it's within a week or two in Helsinki.
So, yeah, I remember you told me about that. It sounded amazing. When is that Slosh event?
Actually, this will be probably the first year in many that we're not attending that. So. But I believe it's in 2 weeks, the 4th of December or so.
Oh, right in December. Okay. So I kind of jumped into it. I've known you guys for, 5 or 6 years now, I think. For those who don't know what your company is all about, maybe just give me a rundown on what you do.
Yeah. So we are a workplace digital signage. As the name refers, we focus on corporate communication, so internal communication and employee communication. And we just published our own platform around June last year, so a little less than a year and a half ago. And we focus a lot on content automation. So one thing that we saw when we started off was that many companies already had a digital signage service used for employee communications, but the content really was not up to date, you know. So we figured, there could be something here, and eventually came up with the idea that, okay, let's build apps for that automate the content. And eventually that developed into being a whole platform. And we integrate various different business systems and applications such as intranets or social media or press release monitoring applications. and automate the content updates from there. So in a way that we help the company managing the whole digital signage network to use as little effort as possible to keep everything going and keep it up to date, because that's really the way the target audience wants it.
Mm-hmm. And when you say it's a platform, is it a full content management platform, or am I thinking that it's a subscription that would plug into another platform?
That's a good question. So yeah, it's a full content management platform, or I would like to say content automation platform nowadays. So that's
okay.
That's where things seem to go, and that's the way. And we provide service. Obviously, customers still can update content manually if they wish to do so, and in many cases, they are still doing that. Obviously, there's the need to post something important every now and then, but we really aim to help the customers to automate as much the content updates as possible, because we see that is the successful path, and that keeps the media interesting, and the target audience learns to realize that there is relevant, useful, up-to-date information there always when they need it.
So the idea would be you've got enterprise customers who have internal communicators and external communicators, and they're already using various platforms within their businesses to communicate with their employees, whether it's KPI dashboards or SharePoint or God knows what. And you're saying they're already using that. So you've got data connectors and apps that can tap into that to then automate the content that then appears on screens.
Yeah, it's exactly so. So typically what the customers or the communication or HR team would like to communicate with their employees is, how are we doing? And that information already exists in, as you named it, in various many app business systems and applications, whether it's the company-related news, you can find them in intranets in many cases, or if we have a new customer, typically the marketing team is posting about it, or if there's a big merger or so, then you can find that in press releases. So all the information already exists in some business applications. We just need to connect and get it in front of people to drive action.
Okay. The challenge I would see there is an old internet term that goes back, God, to mid-90s, the idea of shovelware, and the idea that you can take content from one platform and one use case and shovel it onto another medium. And how do you deal with a press release that might be 700 words and put that onto a digital signage screen in a way that looks good?
That's a good point. And you have to obviously design it to be smart. Typically, there's the headline and ingress. If you can find that data from the press releases, then that's the way to go. So you sort of broadcast the main image, the main headline, the main ingress, and the call to action there would be to look for further information and for more detailed information in the original source. So that's the same thing applies with intranets. So really the point is here to keep intranet, if in many cases the customers are using our services when they have new intranet, so they would like to drive adoption and really see the change that people are starting to use and adopt the new intranet. So in those cases, it makes sense to broadcast those messages on digital signage displays to keep that intranet on top of mind and really point out that there's relevant information to find there and to drive traffic to that intranet.
So it's a bit of a garbage in, garbage out thing that if you're going to generate a message, you can't say, we have a new customer order. You need to have a headline that says, brand X has ordered 3 million euro in new parts, or something that is a complete headline.
Exactly, yes. And actually, what we see here is typically this also makes the data even more relevant, or it takes the attention of the people as well who update the data, especially regarding data visualization that the customers say that, okay, our reporting actually has improved since we published this data or visualized this on info screens or digital signage, because it's you don't want to show garbage on those screens.
Mm-hmm. And how much, when you're automating stuff, are you purely replicating what's in another data store, or are you taking data and then doing things like dynamic charting?
Yeah. So we design, obviously, all the layouts, the look and feel from digital signage point of view. So that's first thing that we do there. So we take the data, but curate it in a way that it suits for digital signage audiences, give a little nice animation, a clean, fresh look and feel, and show some movement, but to catch the eye, but keep it still a simple and easy to understand format.
Okay. Yeah, because I've seen suggestions that companies could take the KPI dashboards that they now make available for desktops and just, you know, use that URL and show it up on a smart display with the same URL. And you look at that and think there's way too much information on there, and it's way too small for somebody who's standing 10 feet away.
Yeah, that is so. We see that a lot, and there's a high demand for that as well. And we don't say no to those cases. We actually have integrations with Microsoft Power BI as an example. Mm-hmm. But what we do there is we authenticate our platform natively with the Microsoft Power BI Cloud to keep things secure. So you don't want to publish your dashboard URL public in order to be able to display that on digital signage. So that's one thing that we need to keep in mind, that everything needs to be secure. And at the same time, sometimes it makes sense to show those dashboards, especially if you are sort of looking for the right layout or the right way to present that data and making adjustments yourself, because customers can then control the look and feel of the dashboards themselves. But in many cases, we try to be part of that case as well and give some tips for best practices for what type of dashboard works on digital signage.
So if I'm a customer, I'm subscribing based on endpoints. Is that how it works?
Yeah. We have actually two subscription models. One is what we call Awesome, because it's that tremendous that you have unlimited use of our apps. And that's X euros per endpoint. And the other one is based on the amount of endpoints, but it's also the amount of apps that you're using. So that's starter package.
Okay. So you would greatly prefer that people go to Awesome?
In many cases, when you use four or more apps, it makes perfect sense to go to the Awesome. But if you have a need to just display your social media, Twitter or Facebook or so, you can easily start off with the starter package.
Mm-hmm. Is that how some companies get into this, with fairly simple requirements? They want to visualize their Twitter feed or Facebook posts or something like that, because the idea that they're going to visualize like their Salesforce opportunity pipelines and things like that is just too mind-blowing for them out of the gate.
Yeah. Typically, it's that way. So you sort of build it up. You start off with your social media or your internet news or so, because those are the sources that you already are updating. And quite soon you realize that, okay, it makes perfect sense. Actually, we need to bring that social media in, because our employees, they tend not to follow us on social media, what our company is posting, but it makes sense for them to know that internally and see the updates. And then the hunger builds from there. Then you realize, okay, it would make sense to actually have some KPIs running here, because we might have this new strategy and we would like to show where we are in terms of making that transformation and follow those KPIs and communicate to our employees that how are we doing and what action we need to take next.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me as you would have customers, like every customer is going to have some unique requirements, some customization. It strikes me as this would be hard to have one size fits all for really any of the apps that you have.
That is true. So what one part of our strategy is that we just keep on building those apps. We keep integrating to more business systems. And whether it's based on the customer request or we have just figured out that this would make sense and it's scalable. So in some cases, we come up or customers come up with requests that we would need this custom data to be visualized in custom way. And we then take a look at it on a case-by-case basis. And if it makes sense, or if we see that it could become eventually a generic app for the rest of the customers, we would take on the project. And in some cases, we still, even though we understand that it's completely a customized case for this customer, but it drives employee engagement and it makes sense for their company and it's good for their business, then we would do that for them.
Right.
It keeps us on the trend of what's going on with our customer base.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So if I have, if my company is using something like, I think you said Microsoft Power BI, if my company uses that and I subscribe to Volata, what's involved at that point? Is there like a big learning curve, a lot of training to integrate all this stuff, or is it pretty simple to get moving with it if you have somebody who, has some web chops or whatever?
Yeah, it's actually, we try to build everything to be self-service. Mm-hmm. In some cases, the things are already there, but we also support our customers and the first ones we onboard happily and help and go hand in hand with the customer to get them to use the first apps. But in terms of Microsoft Power BI as an example, what you do is you activate the app, you choose it from our app categories, you activate the app, give the app a name, and then you authenticate it with your Microsoft Power BI credentials. So that doesn't need involve any IT or any other technical stuff. So anybody can do that. And you save your app and put it on the flow and you're good to go.
So I wanted to get as a point of clarity, if I'm working with a typical content subscription company, like a ScreenFeed, I mentioned them because they're our sponsor and everything else, but they work with content management system platforms and they will schedule the ScreenFeed content pieces into a container or a slot in the schedule. So they're working with a CMS. Can your product work with a CMS, or are you choosing to use Volata Live or Brand X, but you can't do both?
Yeah, currently all the customers that you see on our website, they just run solely on Volata Live. So They have a media player and that runs Volata Live and that connects their displays to our cloud and they control it in Volata Live. So, but yeah, we know the companies really well in the industry and we don't say no to any collaboration. Or obviously you can also use our web app and publish content from the web or publish content from any other data sources that use public URLs. So it would make sense for the customer to use ScreenFeed combined with Volata Live.
Right. So if I'm a company that's Fortune 500 company that's already got a long-term CMS
platform arrangement. They've been using whoever for years and years and years. That company doesn't really have the kind of visualizations that you guys are doing. And the customer ask is to do that. They will either have to say, no, we can't do that, and worry that they will lose the work down the road because somebody else can do it, or they will apply developer resources to make the company or make the customer happy. Or I guess the other route would in theory be that they could work with you guys.
Yeah, we get those questions every now and then, but currently we've been busy with doubling down on this road and, you know, building our platform, building new integrations, and there's good customer demand there. So we've been serving those customers that have been asking for this type of services. But we could take a look at those cases on a case-by-case basis and see if there's a door open for collaboration. But yeah.
I would imagine if I'm in the head of some of your customers, they're looking at broader content management system platforms and determining, yeah, that's amazing that you can do all that stuff, but we don't need all that stuff. We just we just want to visualize the Power BI data or whatever it is and be done with it. So sorry, we don't need all that. We just want this, and these guys already do this.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think the one point that makes us different is that we haven't put that much effort in the high-end editorial tools. You cannot find those in Volatilive. So if that's something you need, then there are platforms and systems that do that way much better. But what have been focusing on is that how you can activate various data sources with our apps, build them into a nice information flow, and target that to your display groups globally, and you're good to go. You don't have to log in to Volatilive every day to keep the content updated. That you just set the structure and set it and forget it as you put it in.
Yeah, and I would imagine that's huge for an awful lot of companies. You know, in the consulting work that I've done through the years, I have distinct memories of telling people, if you use this platform, it's pretty efficient. You should be down to, you know, maybe a morning a week that you need to attend to your network. And I've had clients who've looked at me and said, I don't have a morning a week. You know, I need somebody else to do this for me, or the whole thing has to be automated, because it's just like this. I need this, but I don't need the extra work it involves.
Yeah, that's the case for workplace communication and for corporate communication. So that's definitely it. And I think the number one reason for failure for many digital signage networks in the past has been that the customers did not have those resources, or they did not have the time to keep the content updated.
So when you're talking to companies, what kind of advice are you giving them? I know that you guys have a blog, and you've got some kind of startup tips on what to do and what to think about as you're getting into this. What are those pieces of advice you're giving to people?
Well, first off, you need a plan.
And, son of a gun.
You start off with content strategy. So figure out the target audience and then your business drivers. What are the objectives that you're trying to achieve? If I name the five, the most typical cases that we have is that customers say that to us that we would like to reach all our employee groups. We are a manufacturing company, and we would like to reach our blue-collar workers, and digital signage obviously is a good tool for that. But we see more and more questions about how do we engage our employees, and that's our business driver. We have a transformation going on, and how do we engage our employees? And then you really need to map sort of the leading content for that. For one customer, it was all about health and safety. So the leading content was that they wanted to show their health and safety figures, you know, the misses and hazard and see the trend in that data and visualize that for their employees. Or one customer wanted to increase data transparency. So their leading content for all this was to visualize their customer survey data that they did biweekly and analyze. They had a separate software that did the analysis of that, but then they wanted to visualize their scores for that. And we did an integration to that app and drive the data. And so you need to find that driving, leading content, what's driving your business case forward. And I think that's the best place to start.
Yeah, and that's a big problem with a lot of companies, is it not, that the data is available, but it's in the hands of the management team, and the rank and file people out on the production floor or whatever have no idea how the company's doing.
Exactly right. So again, you can go, then you can take driving data transparency completely wrong. We had actually a vice president from our customers said that, transparency, again, is not that you open the floodgates and throw all data that you have out there just to be part of that noise, but you have to make it easy to understand, so make it visual and easy to access. And I think digital signage actually can reply to both of those demands really well.
Mm-hmm. What's the kind of mix of customers that you have right now?
Well, our biggest customers are from manufacturing. So Wärtsilä, that's a leading smart marine tech company, operates globally. I think they have offices in 40 or 50 countries around the globe. And then we have Neste, that's again in oil refinery business. I think they are the leading oil refinery for renewable diesel, and they operate globally. So those, we have companies from manufacturing, but then we have companies from IT and telecom business and media and retail. Retail is also using Volatilive to drive their employee communication. So I think
so this is back of house stuff?
Sorry?
This is back of house stuff that the customers don't see, the shoppers don't see?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, the back offices, the lounge cafeteria areas and all that. But again, to communicate, how are we doing and what's new with us?
Oh, so it'd be things like sales?
Yeah, sales, okay. New offers, stuff like that.
Is most of your business in Scandinavia so far?
It is, yes. The most customers come from Finland, but we actually started our international growth with this strategy just H2. And we see now customers coming from Sweden, Norway. We have some customers in UK, Italy, and we have new partners from Estonia. We are talking with partners in Sweden. We have partners starting up in Norway. So it's really looking good.
Are there any barriers to doing business in North America for you, other than simply it's a long flight?
No. We are already serving this place around in 50 countries globally. So no. We are a SaaS cloud. We operate anywhere where there's internet.
And obviously, if you're in all those countries, you have language packs and things like that that are going to deal with a company that's working in English and Spanish and German and so on.
Yeah, definitely. And we have actually tested. We don't have any customers from Asia yet, but we have support for different fonts out of the box. So we're mm-hmm. ready to do that.
Do you have competition that you know of?
Obviously, yeah. Yeah, we know the industry well, and I think there are companies doing good stuff, providing good services, but I think we differentiate, obviously, by focusing on workplace communication. So that's one. But again, around that area, there's obviously competition as well. But then our approach from the automation and data visualization point of view, again, separates us from the competition. And then we introduce the Paley Day as you go. So that's something new again. I think we need to, as an industry, I'm not just talking about myself, but as a whole industry, we need to challenge. I mean, this industry is growing a lot, but we need to rebuild ourselves and find ourselves again and again. And earn that trust from the customer. So we need to experience new stuff, and we want to be one company that's doing that. So
what do you mean by pay as you go?
We charge per day. So it's okay. You see license-based business, then you see subscription monthly-based business, and then you see consumption-based business. And I think we're in that. Obviously, we state the prices that if you use our services, you for 30 days, you pay this much money. But actually, the actual invoice is based on daily. If you just, for some displays, you use our service for 15 days for 1 month and you have an office move, we don't charge you anything else but for 15 days for that month.
Okay. So over the next year, what are we going to see new coming out of your company, out of the product mix?
Well, obviously more apps. So we'll build new connections, new apps to those data sources that would make sense for our customers and can scale. And so we'll build more integrations. I think the platform, we'll see platforms that are becoming smarter. They can provide and display content in more context, and maybe even in the future do better decisions, the automation, I mean. And we will see new platforms probably supported. You know, eventually the AR, VR, they are just browser there as well. So who knows that if digital signage is coming to those as well. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything going on around that area yet, but we're definitely keeping an eye on that as well.
All right. Thanks so much for taking the time with me.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks so much for this chat. It was a pleasure.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.